welcome to the first recording of The Oxford Quack. I have been writing it for almost 2 years now, and I just thought with all our busy lives that maybe some people would prefer to consume it via their ears. Maybe not, but we'll see. Or hear. Anyway, so this first blog post is called South West London Forever. I've taken inspiration from Florence and the Machine's song South London Forever. It's one of my favourite Florence and the Machine songs. She seems to have captured all that energy and that happiness that I felt when I was in my early 20s living in South West London. The reason why I wanted to write about it this week is because Pete, my former housemate, invited me out to his birthday drinks to Brixton on Saturday night, and I was just feeling very nostalgic about that time. So I hope you enjoy the blog, and also you can go back and read it, and there are some photos on the blog post and also a link to Florence's song. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you have a lovely rest of the week. Here it goes, South West London Forever. I had thought my nights in Brixton were long behind me, but last Saturday, I found myself amongst the shipping containers of Pop Brixton, shouting my food order over the deafening dance track. The hummus wrap. What? The hummus wrap. I had been invited by my former housemate Pete to his birthday drinks in our old stomping ground. A bit of a blast from the past, he said shyly in the Facebook message. A blast from the past indeed. 10 years have gone by since we lived in that terraced house in Stockwell. There were four of us in that house. Me, Pete, Big Bro Joe and Dan, who I had nicknamed Partlife due to his love of English rock bands. When Definitely Maybe started blasting from his bedroom, we knew he was getting ready to hit the common. Pete also liked music, but it was bands that nobody had heard of. Would you like to come to a gig with me? He asked on a weekly basis. They're called Parisian Dodos, kind of drum and bass, kind of reggae, kind of pop. His film collection was no better. Occasionally, he tricked the house into a movie night, and the four of us, plus a girl trying to impress Parklife, would be squeezed onto the sofas for 3 hours watching some 70s Korean action film. Our temporary family began in 2014. The city was gin-obsessed, and all the flat-white-sipping millennials had made base south of the river. We'd cram on the Northern Line on the weekdays, and then cram into the Northcote on Friday nights. The first summer day of the year saw everyone spread out on the common, dizzy from bottomless Prosecco. There were endless gourmet burgers to try, autumnal tag rugby matches, and late night bars where you make a 2 hour solid friendship with a marketing girl whose name you'd soon forget. I wanted to capture it all, stuff it into a jar, and label it the SW days. That's when I began writing That Bloody Mary. Along with Bloody Mary reviews, I wrote stories about our house share. One where Partlife and I stumbled down to Brixton Market to cure an honest burger craving. As we munched our hangover away, we saw a pretty blonde with a backpack on. Partlife had a thing for blondes. Still does, I think. I'm not sure about the backpack, Partlife said. They're a bit... He pulled a face. She can take the backpack off. It would be like a Dora the Explorer striptease. He contemplated this for a second, then knocked on the window and held up his number on a napkin. The backpack blonde, sitting directly below us, squinted, giggled, then looked sad as she mouthed, I have a boyfriend, then made a sad clown face. Another failure I wrote down was the trapping of the house mouse using lint chocolate and a box. The mouse was too wise for this, and eventually she met its fate with a pest controller. The majority of the stories in the blog, though, told tales of us rambling the southern boroughs of London without too much worry of what the future holds. like all house shares, things weren't always ideal. There was the fifth housemate to bear, football. If they weren't watching it, they were talking about it. And if they weren't talking about it, they were playing it on the Xbox. Our poor red sofas had black patches from the FIFA binges and endless matches. I had attempted to make the place more homely with blankets and cushions, but the collection of sticky whiskey bottles, the hanging wires, and the ironing board, which was permanently out, meant I was fighting a losing battle. I thought they would get bored of FIFA, but after 2 years, the game was still going strong. I don't think they noticed I moved out. 10 years on, and we've all left London, apart from Pete, who has moved in with his lovely girlfriend. She can just about tolerate his offbeat DVD collection. On the way to Pete's birthday drinks, I took a detour down our old road. The house hadn't changed a bit. The random palm tree was there, the stubborn gate was open, and the blue velvet curtains were still hanging in my bedroom window. Suddenly, the front door swung open, and a 20-something-year-old woman, bundled in a black North Face coat, came out. She ran down the steps, through the gates, and headed towards the common.